The Arctic Council has been meeting in Kiruna in northern Sweden for the last 2 days with environmental concerns at the top of their agenda. Ruth Davis from Greenpeace joins me. And Ruth, the environmental community has not been particularly happy with what the Arctic Council is doing. What concrete environmental progress has come out of their meeting?
Well, I think the reason that we're not desperately happy is it's hard for us to point to any specific things that have been agreed here that are really going to change what's going on in the outside world. And the reason that that's so important here is because we've seen and heard masses of evidence about the twin crises engulfing this region, the crisis of climate change and the crisis of poorly regulated industrial activity. And yet we've seen very little coming out of this that will make a concrete difference to that. So that's why you're hearing a lot of concern.
And if there was, you know, your ideal top three things that they must tackle immediately and tackle in a productive manner, what would they be from an environment point of view?
Well, I think the first one has to be renewed and really vigorous efforts to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. I mean, we've seen this week that levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere have hit a state that they haven't been in for 3 or 4 million years. This is a crisis for all humanity, but it is also a huge crisis for the Arctic. And what we would have liked to see here is a specific agreement both to tackle emissions of black carbon in the Arctic, a binding agreement, and also a renewed effort to try to transform the economies in the Arctic region to move away from fossil fuels and towards more sustainable, renewable sources of energy. And whilst there's been some good rhetoric about climate at the meeting, there's been nothing that is actually a practical outcome to try to deal with that problem. And this is also particularly salient because round the table in the Arctic, you have some of the world's largest fossil fuel producing nations. So they really do have it within their power to make an incredible difference to what's going on with the climate out there. It's just that we haven't really seen the appetite for real action here that we need.
We had a lot of the indigenous groups voicing their concerns about black coal, black fossil fuels, and rampant industrialization in the high north. Do indigenous groups have their voices and their concerns heard and appreciated and taken on board by the big nations?
Well, that question has to be put directly to the indigenous peoples of the Arctic. I think it would be inappropriate for me to put words into their mouths. I think what I can say from a Greenpeace perspective is that it's obviously imperative that the principle of full prior informed consent by indigenous peoples for any activity that takes place on their land needs to be fully internalized by the Arctic Council. And more broadly, there's a question of making sure that actually the Arctic Council is capable of taking into account the voices of those who are on the receiving end of environmental change, not just the voices of those who hope to be able to benefit from the kinds of fossil fuel and other extractive activity which is more and more frequent in the Arctic.
And following up on that, there are countries that are now going to be observers at the Arctic Council that have no Arctic coastline, that have no history of involvement in the Arctic. Is that a good thing, seeing countries like India and China, South Korea, Singapore, Italy brought on board into this Arctic conversation?
I think on the whole, it is a really good thing that there are more voices being heard inside the Arctic Council who can represent the fact that what happens in the Arctic is not staying in the Arctic. It's also having an effect at much lower latitudes. What I would say, though, is that it's important that actually it's the voices of the people who are on the receiving end of change who need to be heard, not just a question of those who are biggest and powerful enough to be able to elbow way to the table. And at the moment, there isn't really a kind of, as far as I can see, an active outreach on the part of the Arctic Council to go looking for those voices who would be able to represent different perspectives, not just at a country and state level, but also to have different perspectives from wider global civil society, and also, I think, very particularly from young people for whom the changes in the Arctic represent a massive challenge for their future.
And just finally, we're here in Kiruna, and this morning the Finnish Foreign Minister told me that one of the remits of the Arctic Council really is do no harm, and yet there's a kind of mixed message here, because if there's doing no harm in the Arctic, we're right next to a giant mine, which is a huge scar on the landscape. Do you think, what are the optics of that for the Arctic Council going and having lunch in the mine and mixing with the mine where it's a blot on the landscape?
Well, that's a complicated question. I mean, you know, many people in Kiruna are very proud of their iron mine. And yes, it's a blot on the landscape, but, you know, I don't want to sound like a kind of advocate of massive industrialization, but at the same time, it does provide jobs. And I think the key thing here is not necessarily to say,